The Supreme Court recently surprised a lot of people in their masterpiece cake decision related to same-sex marriage. And we're going to talk about that right now on Vocal Point with Dr. Adam Carrington of Hillsdale College. He teaches in the politics department. I'm Jerry Newcomb. And Adam, it's great to have you on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Glad to be here with you.
Okay, now some people have said that this ruling was a narrow ruling and didn't necessarily even address the issues at stake as far as religious rights versus gay rights. But what are your comments on the decision itself?
I think it does do some things. And what it does do is it says that you can't, if you're looking at the intersection between claims to gay rights and claims to religious or free speech rights, you can't laugh religion out of the building. You can't deride it. You can't mock it. You have to take it seriously. At the same time, I would agree with that assessment that you were giving, that it didn't get to the substantive question of, if you do take those religious rights seriously, should they ever win? And when would they win? And I think the court really punted on even the fundamental question, if in this case, Mr. Phillips, who runs the bakery, if he had been given a fair and decent hearing by the body in Colorado, would he have won? Could he have refused service? Really, the court didn't even answer that particular question.
Okay, now, as a bakery, he didn't discriminate in terms of, you know, people who want to come in and buy things from him. The issue here for him was he could not, in good conscience, celebrate a same-sex wedding. Therefore, he could not participate in making such a cake. And by the way, it's my understanding that he has declined in times past to make Halloween cakes because he doesn't like that particular celebration. So for him, this is a matter of Christian conscience. Your comments?
Yes, and I think that really touches on a lot of what the court refused to determine. I actually think that the most interesting opinions are some of the concurring opinions. They agreed, they joined the majority, but they wanted to add different reasoning, and I think those were trying to take up a future case. What would be the reasoning in a future case that actually addresses those kind of questions? And what I'd say to those is that I think one of the fundamental questions is going to be what constitutes an act of free speech or an act of free exercise of religion. And Mr. Phillips said that he doesn't do these weddings because he believes they're celebrations of them. He believes that making him do them forces him to speak, basically, to celebrate same-sex weddings. And I think you saw in some of the concurring opinions, Justices Gorsuch and Thomas absolutely agree with that and that shouldn't be done. But some of the other justices, like Kagan, were jockeying to say, no, that's not an exercise of free speech, and he should be made to do so anyway. So you're hitting the nail on the head on some of the questions that remain to be decided.
So wait, am I to understand from what you've read all the opinions, including the dissenting and including the co-decisions, whatever you call that, where Kagan, for example, suppose the Colorado people had been very nice to him, but they said, we still think you should make that cake because to do otherwise is to go against the Supreme Court's decision of 2015, Obergefell same-sex marriage decision. By the way, that decision came down after he had already run afoul of the Colorado officials.
Yes, and I think you could claim that maybe he could get off the hook because it wasn't illegal at the time, or at least Obergefell had not come down at the time. But what Kagan said, and she was part of the majority, but I think she was jockeying for a later case and writing the extra opinion, she said that if the Colorado Civil Rights Commission, which first decided the case, if they had been nice, basically, to the religious claims of Phillips and Masterpiece Cake Shop, that they still should have decided against Masterpiece Cake Shop. And her argument is, based on other court precedent, a religious claim doesn't win if the law doesn't target religion. And what that means is if you pass a law saying no one is allowed to do this for any reason, that's okay. It's only a problem if someone says, Christians, you're not allowed to do it, while others who aren't Christians are allowed. And that's the distinction she made to try to say that a similar case should actually go against the baker.
So in other words, in a case like that, if I understand you correctly, if she had the option and the alternative to vote to say that basically you must bake that cake, if you're a photographer, you must photograph a same-sex wedding, then you almost wonder, well, why didn't Kagan vote with the opponents? In other words, why didn't she vote with Ginsburg or with Sotomayor, who did say they did dissent in this case? They're part of the two as opposed to the seven.
Right, and we don't know for sure, obviously. We're not in the chambers with the judges. It could be that she really thought that they didn't get a fair hearing and that it's wrong to assume things that didn't happen, to assume what would have happened if there was a fair hearing. The other might be that she was able to make certain concessions, demands for concessions from the majority to get on, to say that if I join you, it needs to be this narrow where it might have been maybe a little bit broader otherwise.
Oh.
So we don't know for sure. Those could be some reasons why she may have strategically decided to do so. But I think you're right. It seems like a strategic action rather than her saying she had a deep principled reason to do so.
That's interesting. So in other words, it could have been a 5-4 decision, and then it wouldn't have meant, quote unquote, a narrow ruling.
Or at least as narrow. And what's interesting is, why would the other five justices be willing to do so? Why would they be willing to make it narrow? Well, a 7-2 opinion looks less partisan. It looks more as if the judges considered just the law than their own partisan beliefs. And often the court will sacrifice some depth in order to get some breadth when that comes out. And I think someone like Kagan knows that's the case.
Well, in the Masterpiece Cake case, one of the things that was just shocking, this I found really difficult and hard to deal with, and again, I think this decision was made even before the Obergefell decision, which made it worse, in my opinion. But anyway, here we go. The Colorado group in charge of the, Human Rights Commission, whatever, that Colorado group not only found against Masterpiece Cake, but they required employees of Masterpiece Cake, which I think are basically family members of Jack Phillips, including him, to go to some sort of re-education classes or whatever on the whole issue of same-sex relationships or whatever. And I thought, that's really crazy to me. Re-education camps? I mean, that's like, North Korea or something.
And I think that gets closer to the fact that the court is going to have to determine the First Amendment, especially free speech claims, at some point, because, James Madison said there's no greater property that you have than the property you have in your own conscience.
Mm.
He even called it sacred.
Amen.
That a free conscience is a sacred right, sacred property. And it's one thing, and I think it's a very debatable thing, to try to make someone do something. But training like that infringes, I think, very far into not just making someone do something when they interact with others, but making them think something or believe something in themselves. And I think that you're right to say that is even more problematic than what you force people to do when you force people to think some way.
And furthermore, the Colorado group that came down hard on Jack Phillips and Masterpiece Cake, one of the officials likened him to Hitler and the Nazis, and in reality, his dad had served in World War II fighting against Hitler and the Nazis and liberating the camp, you know, one of the camps, as I understand it. So it was like, what? You know, to be compared to a perpetrator of the Holocaust, where his own father helped liberate those victims of the Holocaust. It was grating.
And that's, I think, a big reason why they lost. You could, in very sort of casual parlance, say that the actual holding was that that commission was a bunch of jerks, really,
yeah.
In the way they went about doing their thing, including, I mean, Kennedy, that wrote the majority, was very harsh on the commission for using that exact language that you said they used. And I think that the real debate going forward is going to be, you know, in doing so, you rightly said that there was some false equivocation about what actions or what beliefs were alike. I think in future cases, they're going to have to ask that again in a more concrete legal sense. They're going to have to ask, does refusing service in this case constitute, you know, the same thing as refusing service in other instances?
Okay. By the way, if, you know, it is not as if Jack Phillips would turn down a customer who comes in who happens to be homosexual and, you know, I want to buy a cake. Okay, fine. You know, what kind do you want? You know, oh, boom. This involved his artistic time, effort, you know, his whole being in a sense. I mean, I've interviewed Melissa as in Sweet Cakes by Melissa. Same type of case, only a different state. And, you know, I'm glad for this ruling, by the way, on her behalf and that of her husband, but she'd be basically pour her whole self into making these wedding cakes. So it was not an easy decision. You know, it was not an easy thing to just say, oh, go ahead and just bake this cake for the gay couple.
Right. And it really does get down to what is expression and speech and what is conveyed. And Justice Thomas, in his concurring opinion, said, going back to the Victorian era, a cake has been part of a wedding, and a cake has been not only a recognition that a wedding is taking place, which of course Phillips would object to, but also an approval of it. It's an act of celebration, and that in both instances, to make someone bake the cake, much less whatever might be said on it, is an act of the government making you say things you don't believe. And I think I would just add real quickly, one of the debates among the concurring opinions was the fact that the Colorado Civil Rights Commission had actually allowed other bakers to not bake cakes when asked to, when the message was against same-sex marriage. And Justice Gorsuch has a really, I think, well-written opinion stating that why that is inconsistent and why that doesn't fairly treat religious beliefs the way they should, and I think really takes to task Kagan for trying to argue differently.
Okay, some of the reaction by liberals in the media and so forth commenting on this decision, you could almost call it cake-ageddon. I mean, it's just like, oh, it's the end of the world. You know, this is the end of the rights as we know it. What are your comments to that?
I think that's an attempt to score political points. I think that's an attempt to get attention in often what I fear is too much of a hysteria-driven news cycle culture, because really this didn't decide much of anything. Yes, it wasn't the decision they wanted, a full takedown of any right of refusal based on religious beliefs, but it really didn't decide the other way either. So I think it really it was a loss in the expectations game. I think that the real question is going to come in a future case, and I think that that case is unavoidable. It's going to have to happen. The court can't avoid this permanently. But I would tell everyone really to just calm down about this. The real case to get worked up, either happy or upset about, is still to come.
Hmm. Yeah, but there is a sense in which, at least for now, they've defused the bomb, and I think that's important. I remember same thing happened with the One Nation Under God, the Pledge of Allegiance. Oh, this father does not have standing. And then also with the little nuns, the Little Sisters of the Poor. the government was out of line in this particular case, but they didn't necessarily decide on all the rulings. That came later. We're basically out of time, but I want to refer people to hillsdale.edu. Dr. Adam Carrington, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
It was a pleasure being on, and thanks for having me.
Okay, thank you now. All right, bye-bye.